Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody today? All right. So you've not fallen asleep over lunchtime. That's a good sign. Welcome to the feast in Italy. This is, apart from Jerusalem, the best feast site in the world. So if this is your first time, well done. And talking of first timers, do we have, I've got a name of some people here. Do we have Karen and Jeff Spivey Bennett here? Or are they flaked out after lunch? Well, maybe they're just being a bit shy. But anyway, not only, as Dave says, are we small but mightily voiced, we are small but mightily well connected. So some best wishes from them as well. Right, so if the technology works today, I want to talk about something that is not necessarily the sort of thing that you would typically talk about on the feast days, because the feast, as we are here, as we have just participated in this lovely food, the wonderful weather, the fabulous fellowship, reminds us we're here about the future, about the millennium, and we're celebrating that before it happens. And it's part of our God's feasts, and we're commanded to do that because we need those reminders, and it's very important. It's a very positive thing because life is tough, isn't it? It's not always straightforward. And sometimes we're experiencing trials, and sometimes those trials, for those of us, are relatively short-term. We get through them and we move on. But other types of trials are particularly long-standing. They're the sort of things that Angelo was talking about this morning when he was saying that you take a lump of coal, you compress it and compress it and compress it, and ultimately it becomes a diamond, and that diamond then needs to be cut. A perfect analogy, if you like, if you don't mind me saying so, Angelo, because sometimes life really is that hard, isn't it? And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to spend a little bit of time just empathizing a bit with people who have those long-standing trials. And I want to do that because it's very easy when those of us who aren't experiencing those sorts of trials, particularly in a wonderful environment like this, can forget that that life for some of our brothers and sisters is particularly hard. Some of our brethren are struggling with pain that just doesn't go away. Some of us are struggling with trials at work that we experience corporate bullying. Some of our children are suffering as well. Some of us have experienced the long-term struggles associated with relationship breakdown. Some of us are struggling with addiction. This one I chose because it reminds me of a good friend of mine who has a Down syndrome son. And every time he posts something on Facebook, it makes me think, you know, thank God for my big, handsome boys, because I'm sure that when Tom sits down and thinks about his son Harry, he worries about how Harry's going to be looked after his death. There are long-term challenges that people face that are all part of that activity of crushing that coal, forming it into a diamond, and then carving those facets that make it just a beautiful, unique stone. But it can feel very lonely sometimes. And one of the things I want to do with this sermonette this morning, very briefly, is to consider the fact that sometimes, you know, when we pray about these things, because God is using us and shaping us over that long period of time and bringing that pressure to bear for very good reason, and despite the fact that sometimes we are praying about those things, not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, and sometimes it seems as though those prayers aren't being answered. And that can be particularly discouraging, okay? But there is a greater purpose at play here. And we all know that, and it's very easy for those of us who aren't suffering to think about that and understand that academically, of course. But when you're in the middle of one of these maelstroms, and it's a maelstrom that lasts for a long, long time, and that pressure is as continuous as it really is, then it can be debilitating, and we can be very concerned about the impact that it has on our ability to just keep going, our ability to put one foot in front of the other. And quite often we think of Deuteronomy 28, where we learn that there are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And for those of us who are in those circumstances, it's quite often the case that we ask ourselves the question, you know, why is this happening to me? What have I done wrong? And sometimes there is something that we've done wrong and we need to sort those things out. But in other cases, there's nothing that we've done wrong, nothing that that individual has done wrong. And today I want to concentrate on looking at those sorts of experiences, those sorts of trials where individuals are beyond reproach, but nonetheless, that pressure, that grinding of the facets is nonetheless a pervasive and long-standing, and you know, we talk about long-suffering. There are people in the church that are long-suffering. But it's not always to do with anything, any wrong that we've done. Take the example of the blind man in John 9. So let's look at John 9, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. All of the scriptures are up on the board if you can see them. But John 9, verses 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who'd been blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who sinned? This man or his parents?" And, you know, I can remember several sermons that I've heard over the years where the implication was, if you've got a trial, it's because you've done something wrong. Here's a very good example. For those people who are suffering, who are under that pressure at the moment, that doesn't mean to say just because you have, for example, a long-term physical disability, which some of us have, that it's your fault. In this particular case, Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made known." Let's look at the Apostle Paul, or Paulo. Again, this is a stunning example of an individual who made a massive contribution to the work of God. An enormous contribution. But if, and we often think of him in those exalted terms, we think of the gentleman who wrote most of the books in the Greek scriptures. And then very occasionally we'll read 2 Corinthians 11. But when we add up the trials that this gentleman went through, they are enormous. And they would have crushed more than most of us, I think. Let's just read them quickly and remind ourselves of the sort of trials that this man suffered, and which he came through. And moreover, you know, you'll remember in 2 Timothy, he tells us, "Don't forget, this crown is laid up for me now. I've won this race." 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through to 30. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in lashes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 39 lashes of the whip for speaking out and telling the truth and preaching the gospel. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." And we know that he was left for dead on that occasion. "I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily. And above everything, I've got to care for the churches despite all of those things. So who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not with offense? If I must needs glory, if I need to boast about anything, I've got to boast about the things which concern my infirmities." So how many of us, maybe some of us are suffering in to that extent. But that's an enormous amount of cold pressure and grinding the facets of that diamond, isn't it? So we're not here because this is an easy gig. This is hard, and for some of us this is particularly difficult. But in Paul's case, we know that it wasn't because he was a compulsive sinner. He was a great man, and he will be resurrected and be a great servant in the future as well. The examples in the Bible of people suffering in this way but coming through and pulling through are numerous. I mean, I could have picked many. I picked four. Job, I mean, no need to turn there, but we know Job 1, the story of Job, where all the sons of God came before him on an appointed day, and amongst them was Satan. And God said, "Where have you been?" And Satan said, "I've been walking to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And God turned to him and said, "Have you seen my servant Job? A man who's, there's no one like him on the face of the earth. He's perfect. He's upright. He honors me and he shuns evil." Yet a man that God boasts about his level of perfection to his adversary suffered enormous trials that we can hardly comprehend. And we read that book and we think, surely that can't be right. Surely that really didn't happen. But even in the same way that Christ referred back to the times of Noah, Christ would have referred back to the times of Job, these things are historical events recorded in the Bible. This man suffered terribly, yet God boasted about his righteousness. It wasn't because he'd sinned that he got these trials put on him. It was because God was molding him. And God wants that individual to be able to use those experiences in the future for everyone's benefit. Got a few more scriptures to share with you when we talk about David. Again, if we think about David quickly, we think about the giant killer at the age of 17 or so, a guy whose faith was just so enormous that he could walk down in front of between two armies to take on a guy who was over 9 feet tall, armed only with a few smooth stones and a sling. That's the level of faith that David had. He was anointed from the age of a young boy to be king over Israel because God recognized the qualities in him which made him so unique and so well qualified for that sort of role. And indeed, we know in the future that his role will be equally influential in the kingdom as well. But we often overlook some of the Psalms that tell us some of the troubles that David felt as he went through that life, as he was being molded, and they are not small ones. We'll look at quite a few here, but we'll do them quite quickly. I've just selected some. And if you ever are feeling low, if you ever are feeling vulnerable, you are feeling that you have a huge weight of a trial resting on your shoulders, Psalms are a really good place to turn to, because David is, not only could he fight like some of our special forces can fight, not only was a leader of men, an incredible judge, but he could also, he also had such a strong creative streak in him that he could really communicate the depth of his feelings. And you see that here in Psalm 6, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm weak." Now, does King David, the giant slayer, strike you as somebody who's weak? Not normally. But here he is in a time when he's particularly vulnerable. "O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But you, O Lord, how long? How long is it before you're going to help me? I'm feeling alone here." Verse 6, "I'm weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears." Not straightforward. "How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I have sorrow in my heart? Daily? How long shall my enemy be able to dominate me? Those of us who've experienced bullying at work, or our children are experiencing bullying, just because David was king doesn't mean to say that he didn't experience those sorts of threats on a regular basis. Some of the people that he used to rub shoulders with were particularly nasty people, and they could take him down with a quick sword to the fifth rib, as they say, as the scriptures tell us. Consider and hear me, or else I sleep the sleep of death. He was in fear of his life oftentimes. O Lord my God, Psalm 7, in you do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, or else he tears my soul like a lion, ripping it in pieces while there's no one to deliver me. Psalm 35, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Verse 16, Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. Rescue me from the lions. Psalm 31, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Verse 9, my eye is consumed with grief. Yes, my soul and my belly, I'm forgotten, like a dead man. Out of mind, I'm like a broken piece of pottery. I'm useless. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together and against me. They devised to take away my life. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those that persecute me. Now, when you read that, it doesn't sound like this had happened just over the last day or two, does it? You don't get to a low point like that unless you've been suffering for a good long while, unless you've been looking over your shoulder at people who are jockeying for your position and want to take you out. It was not a comfortable place for him to be. It was a long-term trial for him. Deliver me from my enemies. That's Psalm 59. Again, we could go on, couldn't we? Psalm 69, let's leave it here in this particular case. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. So a great biblical hero was suffering for a long, long time. Job suffered for a long, long time. Paul suffered again and again and again. And finally, the Lamb of God. Perfect in every way, leading a sinless example, our blameless and perfect Passover lamb, our sacrifice. And if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be here and celebrate this wonderful feast day and think about the future that comes. But again, even Christ, despite the amazing life that he leads now he's resurrected, and the way he's orchestrating his plan to deliver the kingdom that we are celebrating today, he too suffered to an extraordinary extent in order to be able to do that and to be in a position where he can look any of us in the eye and say, you know, I know what human suffering is about. So this sermonette is a little bit about empathy, not just with these individuals, but with those of us who are going through short-term trials or long-term trials now. And it's about asking you to pray for them, don't give up on them, and encourage them, because this is a tough thing that we go through. And we will all go through those formative trials at some stage or another. So David wrote about this as well in Psalm 22, but we're very familiar with the fact that Psalm 22 is a prophecy that relates to the crucifixion. And it starts with the last words that Christ uttered on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? and from the words of my roaring. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not, and in the night season. Verse 6, but I'm a worm. I'm no man. I'm a reproach of men. I'm despised by the people. They should have adored him. But he was despised by most people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he'd deliver him. So let him deliver him, seeing that he delights in him. Verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the middle of my bowels. So our great God, who gave up his divinity to be here, can empathize with any of you who are suffering now, any of the previous biblical heroes that we've mentioned. And it's a common denominator, is it not, amongst our lives, that we should expect those sorts of trials. We counted the cost before we were baptized and offered God's Spirit, and we said, we have to choose this. We have to do it. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You've brought me into the dust of the death. For dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. I can stare upon them. And we know that Christ was whipped to the point that it exposed his bones. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture, my clothes. So, you know, our God can empathize with those of you who are suffering, going through these types of trials at the moment. And one of the beautiful things about this feast is that it gives us some relief, it gives us some perspective about the fact that those trials are, to be relatively speaking, short-lived. And we have the examples of many of these individuals who went before us, who suffered these trials and came through the other side, and will be given roles and responsibility that are just enormous in God's future government, and able to help those equally who will come through the suffering of this world and make the millennium that we celebrate today so very special. So if you're suffering, good news. It isn't necessarily anything to do with sins. And if you are suffering, you are in the very best of company. So don't get too low because of the morbid subject of the sermonette, but let it encourage you, because what this is about is taking our lives now, as Angelo said this morning, the formation of that diamond through that process of pressure, but ultimately forming those beautiful facets. And a diamond is the hardest thing in the world, isn't it? It can't be crushed. That glint, that glow can't be taken away. It's there permanently once that process is over. All right, have a wonderful feast.